This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
I am Lisa Wysocki from Nashville, Tennessee.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona. It's Girl Day. Whoop, whoop. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for February 22nd, episode 1637, brought to you by horselovers.com. Good morning, horse world.
Guess what day it is, huh? Anybody?
Julie, hey, guess what day it is?
Oh, come on. I know you can hear me. Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
Wednesday.
That's right. It's hump day with your Horses in the Morning hosts, Jamie, that girl Jennings, and Glenn, the geeky pony guy.
Wednesday, I can't sleep.
That's right. I love it, the geeky pony guy. Well, we actually have Lisa here today because Glenn is off. I'm going to use finger quotes, partying with his podcasting friends. Do they really party? I mean, I kind of think that these, I mean, they're podcasting dudes. Is there like, do they get crazy? Is this their like time to get out and see other people and go nuts?
Well, yeah, it is. They do go nuts. They see other human beings. They walk in the daylight. Yeah, it is a big deal. Yeah, okay, absolutely.
I think we have to have our own party because when the boys are away, the girls should play.
Absolutely. I mean, I actually take every day as an opportunity to make it my own party. So Glenn is just trying to catch up. No, he went to this podcasting conference, Jennifer. And how are you feeling about your husband renting a sports car?
Well, he's got this thing. Again, he's a geeky podcasting dude. And a while back, he rented himself a special little Audi, I think it was an A8 or some such. So now he thinks he's Mr. Cool Dude. And when he goes to these conferences, he has to rent himself some kind of a fancy schmancy car to go. And he is going to be so getting a ticket. And yeah, and that's coming out of his allowance, by the way.
Long as he's not up in the club, you know, making it rain and getting bottles off for all his friends. we love you. Hey, just a reminder, tomorrow there is no Horses in the Morning because Jennifer, Glenn left, and Jennifer is losing her mind. So she's not going to put out a show tomorrow. She said, screw that, Glenn, husband, you're going to be gone. I'm going to sit around and eat bonbons.
I'm going to eat bonbons and post shows all day tomorrow.
So no hit 'em to tomorrow. So Jennifer, we do appreciate all your hard work. All right. And what is coming up on today's show with Lisa and I?
Coming up on today's show, brought to you by horselovers.com, Jamie and Lisa are going to have a chat with Patrick Kaiser, and he's going to tell us all about the upcoming Southern Equine Expo. And in the middle of the show, Dr. Cubitt is going to explain some nutrition terms in our first glossary of horse nutrition terms series. And then bringing up the tail end of the show, Jim Masterson is going to stop by and explain this special massage method that he has called the Masterson method. It's really kind of cool. So that's what's calling up. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
All right. Oh, that's my daily winning music.
Oh, I'm sorry. Here, wait. We can't give you the wrong one.
There we go. There we go. So my daily whinny actually is a shout out to Glenn because, all kidding aside, he's actually become something of a star in the podcasting world. And I just hope he has a fabulous time. Maybe not too good of a time, but
not
a really
too
good
fabulous,
time.
Please. Yeah.
and comes back with a lot of great knowledge. And I know he's going to be able to share a lot with other people. So go, Glenn.
Don't tell him, have fun. He'll be in the club making it rain.
Careful what you wish for.
All All right. I'm going to entertain Lisa for just a second. And I do have a new horse in training that I want to tell you guys about, but they don't get my daily winnie yet. That's not fun yet. I'll tell you about that in a second. But 9 years ago today, it's February 22nd. February 20th was my adoptiversary with Zeus. February 21st is my gotcha day for Thor. And wow. 9 years ago today, and I know because February 22nd is my brother's birthday, so like whatever, I don't care about that. But what I do care about is that 9 years ago today, I climbed on an airplane. I sat down next to my now husband. So,
oh, wow.
I know. Isn't that cool? So not, I can't believe 9 years. I was talking to him yesterday. I'm like, tomorrow's 9 years. I'm like, I've never liked anybody 9 years.
So you guys met, you just sat next to each other randomly on an airplane?
So I had this terrible radio job that was very lucrative, but terrible. And I had sent myself on a, on a vacation to a dude ranch by myself because yeah. I had money and I had no friends. So I hopped on a plane and went to a dude ranch and I met this cute little lug. Well, he was a cook, but he looked like a cowboy. Yeah. And turns out cowboy's just working there for the summer and lives in Pennsylvania.
Wow.
So just outside of Philly, and he's a college student and I was way too old to be involved in this. Anyway, so I hop on an airplane because I'm bored. I have nothing to do. I still hate my life. He's like, come visit me. I think he messaged me on MySpace. Like, come visit yeah. me. I was like, you know what? What the hell? I got nothing else to do. So I booked a ticket for the next day. I'm like, I'm coming. I literally have nothing else to do and too much money to spend on myself. So I'm like, yeah. gotta book a flight. We're going to come up there. So I hop on this airplane and this really hot guy sits down next to me. And it turns out he met a girl on his vacation who lives in Philadelphia. He's going to visit.
No way.
It's crazy. It's stuff movies are made of. So the romance was born there 9 years ago today. I it just reminds me of what a terrible place in life I was, even though you think what you have achieved is your dreams. You're like, this is going to be it. And then it turns out your dream is something totally different.
Oh, absolutely.
And
so but wait a minute. So you went to visit your cowboy guy and he went to visit the girlfriend. Did you guys like hook up in Philadelphia?
Listen, it's not important what happened.
Okay.
I'm just kidding. No, well, both of us were like, okay, I'm not a jerk. Like, we hit it off so good on the airplane. It was insane. I'm 30 at this point, and I was like, I'm never getting married, never having kids, like nothing like that. We were joking on the airplane that this is going to be the best story to tell our grandkids of how we met.
Wow.
That's how instantaneous it was. It was weird. And I've just never been like that at all.
Love at first sight.
Absolutely. Wow. Absolutely. And so when we get off the plane, both of us were like, okay, we exchanged numbers. I'm like, I can't be a jerk because this guy's expecting me and this girl was expecting him. It was like his girlfriend or something. She lived across the country. He lived in Phoenix. She lived in Philly.
Right.
So we texted each other all weekend and met in the airport on Sunday night. And I see him walking towards me and he's on the phone with me and he's walking towards me and sees me and he puts the phone down. He walks up to me and we like full blown start making out in the airport. I mean, like ugly making out like in a movie where people haven't seen each other for a million years.
See, this is a movie I would watch. It's a book I would read and a movie I would watch in a heartbeat.
Oh God. There's so many more exciting details in the midst of all that. But needless to say, he flew back to Phoenix, then hopped on a plane and flew back to Atlanta where I lived the next weekend and the rest is history. So here I am in Phoenix. I quit that horrible job of mine and I'm very, I'm like a wife and a mom and it's been 9 freaking years. What the hell happened to life? I don't know.
Anyways, wow.
Crazy. Wow. Put that
in here. And you have so many anniversaries and holidays that just surround these days. They all kind of cluster together. I think that's really cool.
I know. Yeah. Happy birthday, Josh. Whatever. More important day for me than your birthday.
Wow. Wow.
So, yeah, it was really cool. Well, I wanted to start telling you a little bit about a new horse in training that I have. And I mean, you're a big clinician. You deal with people all the time. And I wanted to ask if you have dealt with somebody like I dealt with yesterday. All right. So here's the story. It's this little kid, and he's a little boy, and he has a Mustang, which of course, you know, makes me want to help.
Yeah. So how little is little boy?
I should have asked that question. I'll get to that. Okay. So little boy, he's riding in 4-H on this Mustang. This Mustang is so badly behaved that they basically 2 weeks ago kicked him out of 4-H. They're like, you can't come back.
Wow.
We're kept it done. Your horse is too dangerous.
Wow.
So my neighbor, 3-4 houses down, who is housing my mare and foal, just has the biggest heart. And she's like, why don't you bring him to my house and I'll see if my friend Jamie can help you. She loves Mustangs. So of course, I'm here to help this. Can you help this poor little boy with this poor Mustang? They got kicked out of four. I'm like, oh, and they don't have any money. Of course they don't have any money.
Right. Right.
So I agree. I'm like, okay, fine. I'll you got to make the world a better place one horse at a time. So, and affecting a young boy and encouraging him in the right way, to do this, I was like, okay, I'll help. So the new horse comes to the house, and I look at this, and his name is Sunny.
Yeah.
And he's a Mustang. What color would you think Sunny the Mustang would be?
Well, normally Sunny the Mustang would be a Palomino, but I'm betting this horse is black.
I mean, jet black. What? Okay. Anyway, so the little boy named him. So I'm like, that's cool. So the mom shows up, and she is, she's there, and the boy is supposed to clean stalls for board. And I show up, and the mom is cleaning his stall. I'm like, where's the boy? I'm not using names for a reason.
Right.
So where's the boy? Oh, he's in high school right now.
What?
I'm sorry. What? Where is he? Oh, he has high school, and he has so much homework that he really can't come out here very often. So it's going to be me. And this is a grown woman.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I said, but I was supposed to be here to help the little boy ride his little horse. Oh, yeah. Well, he's in high school, and he just has so much work to do. Wait a second. Did I just agree to train your horse for free? This boy literally has nothing to do with this horse. He rides him only at 4-H because mama makes him ride him at 4-H. And then I'm like, okay, well, we're going to do a little join up. We're going to do a little bit of this, do a little bit of that.
Right.
I think the most frustrating thing that I heard all day long is, oh, I did that.
I learned a while back, you can't help somebody unless they really want to help.
Well, Lisa, I feel like, you know, I'm very patient, especially with horse people.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I did, you know, then we're going to do a little bit. I did that. Well, we're going to do some of this. I did that. And so I finally, after being pretty frustrated, I turned to her and I handed her the lead rope and I go, well, I guess it looks like you don't need my help at all.
Good for you. Kudos to you. Absolutely.
Oh, I don't know if that's kudos. I felt terrible after it, but she was like, wait, well, no. So I'm like, let me just show you what I'm going to do. So I take the horse and I do join up with him. And, you know, join up is a really beautiful kind of thing where you're in charge, but like the horse chooses to be with you. They want to be with you. I do join up. The horse is following me around. And it's like, this is the time where most owners be like, oh my God, I can't believe you were able to do that with my son's crazy Mustang. What does she say? I did that.
Oh, of course she did.
I did that. And I go, you did join up. It's a very nuanced, like, if you realize, like, you have to do a very particular set of things I did that. And I said, you did join up. And she said, yeah, I ran him around till he submitted.
Oh, gee.
I go, yeah, that's not at all what I did. She goes, I ran him around till he submitted and gave me two eyes. And then when he didn't give me two eyes, I ran him around some more. And I was like, oh my God.
Oh, gee, this poor horse.
Now
this
I have horse. To help the horse.
Yeah.
Now I have to be a part of it. So, Don't put anything about this in the show notes, Jennifer, because they don't know what I do for a living. As you guys know, I prefer not to tell anybody around me what I do for a living because I prefer to talk about them behind their back. it's a venting thing for me, Lisa. I vent. as frustrating as it was yesterday, I thought, you know what? These are the people that need the most help.
Yeah.
So,
if she allows you to help.
I didn't finish filling up the wheelbarrow. I cleaned it all already. I go, good. Clean the next one. Get to work. You're wearing me out. But yeah, I think that the people are the ones that need the most help in this. And the horse is actually quite lovely. So you'd have some fun. So I'm going to go back over there today and see what I can do to help Sunny the jet black Mustang.
Wow. What? You have two great stories. Two great stories this morning already.
That's what I do here. That's what I do, Lisa.
I know.
You write them, I tell them. I can't write a thing down.
There you go.
I can't sign my name without screwing it up somehow. But like, you know what? We all have our calling. Or we all are that girl at some point in life.
Just FYI, you and Glenn and Jen are going to Minnesota for the fourth Cat Enright mystery to Canterbury Park at the racetrack. So just thought I'd clue you in.
Woohoo! Oh my God. Well, I think that begs a road trip is what that tells me. I need to act in real life. That's so cool, Lisa. Oh my gosh. That's awesome. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, you'll have to talk to us a little bit more about that later, but our first guest is on the line, Patrick Kayser from the Southern Equine Expo. And I know that you've actually been involved in the Southern Equine Expo before, Lisa. Tell me about that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Pat Kayser and I have been friends for some time, and he was on the board of Saddle Up when I was the equine trainer there. It's a great therapeutic riding program in Franklin, Tennessee. And so the Southern Equine Expo is like the expo for all horse people, men, women, kids, inexperienced, experienced. There's something there for everybody. And I know Pat really tries hard to put a real balanced program together. I know this year Julie Goodnight's going to be there. She and I both spoke at the CHA conference. She is such a fabulous teacher and so approachable. Sam Powell's going to be there. Sam and I toured together doing clinics for years. And I tell you, he will talk your ear off. You ask him one question about your horse and 30 minutes later, he's still going to be telling you about your horse. So it's just a great event, and I hope everybody goes out to it because it's kind of the premier event in our area in Middle Tennessee. But, you know, obviously people come from all over.
Well, we can just let Patrick go.
Yeah.
See you later, buddy. She told us all about it. Well, please welcome Patrick to the show, Lisa. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Hi, Patrick.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
I'm good. I'm good. I know this is probably a really busy day for you. You're just getting set up and getting your crew going, probably.
Yeah, we have some vendors moving in today, and most of them will be in tomorrow. We've since you were here the last time, we've now kind of grown a little bit, and we're selling out our vendor hall, and we're really blessed to have that happen, and, you know, and we're just trying to stay true to what we started with. And like our motto says, is dedicated to every horseman. And I like the pitch that you just gave us, because we do, we try to put together a well-rounded program that has something for everybody. And Sonny the Mustang could, or the owners of Sonny the Mustang could come here and learn something, I think.
They could. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So Patrick, tell us, you know, I mentioned Julie and, Sam Powell, who else is coming?
We have Craig Johnson, an NRHA $1 million rider. He's going to come, he's kind of branching out a little bit. I don't know if you were here, Lisa, when we had Jack Brainerd a few years ago, but Jack told me that he was working with, Craig, and they started branching. That Craig was looking at Western dressage, and now he's getting into ranch riding, one of the fastest growing sports and our events in stock horse competition, especially AQHA. And so Craig's going to come, and he's not just talking about reining horses. He's going to talk about Western dressage and also ranch riding. And so we're looking forward to three fun days with Craig. And, you know, his clinic's filled up really, really fast. I brought 2 years ago, we started with contest events because there was a demand for that in this area and it wasn't really being addressed. This year, I'm bringing in Lance Graves from Oklahoma. He's a three-time world champion, multiple AQHA champion and stuff. Mm-hmm. And he's just awesome and got a great following. And his clinics were actually filled up the fastest for our Sunday clinics. And he's going to do 3 days, of clinics and demonstrations. And we also have a 4D barrel race on Saturday night to kind of try to help those the contest division group out.
Right.
I've got Stuart Pittman from the Retired Racehorse Project, the CEO of the Retired Racehorse Project. He's coming down, and we have some thoroughbreds that competed last year in Lexington at the $100,000 Thoroughbred Makeover Challenge.
Yeah.
We're calling it the Thoroughbred Makeover Rematch, and we have four or five horses that are coming back today, or they will be on Saturday. And they're bringing them up from South Carolina, some from Tennessee and Georgia. And so we're really looking forward to that. And it's going to add a whole new dimension to what we're doing. And Stuart's giving dressage and jumping clinics along with the makeover challenge.
I love Stuart on the show. He's been on our show a lot, and we really love and respect him. He's a very good advocate. He's the best advocate for the thoroughbred. So congrats.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're really looking. He's been easy to work with. And whatever we can do to help the thoroughbreds with their second careers, you know, we'd love to get more attention to that his program here. You know, we're only 3.5-4 hours from Lexington where they hold the makeover. So, you know, we're in a really great location, you know, for people to adopt those horses and go ahead and compete with them.
Yeah. Well, and I know a lot of your attendees are going to be interested in the shopping too. So it's great that mm-hmm. you've got a full vendor list this year.
Oh my God. Where am I going to spend my money?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. We've had several that have been with us since the beginning, but you have a little bit of turnover every year, but we've got some new people coming in and, you know, it's really generated a lot of excitement.
Yeah. And Patrick, before you got on, actually before the show started, we were talking about this crazy weather we're having in Middle Tennessee. But I mean, for February, it's unseasonably warm. I think Saturday night's going to be a little cool. But I mean, the weather's supposed to be fabulous for your event this weekend. So everybody needs to come out and really have a really great educational and fun time.
Yeah, you remember what it was a couple years ago when they're fighting ice and snow. And
I remember.
We finally got set on we moved last year to the last weekend in February. We're going to stay on this date. It seems like, we kind of get out of that, traditionally get out of the winter mess that we've been into. And it starts getting spring about this time in Middle Tennessee. But yeah, this year, you know, you just kind of keep holding your breath when it's 70 degrees in January and you're thinking, okay, we're 6 weeks away. Can this hold out? And it looks like it is. So we're really looking forward to it. And it's also been a little bit wet. So it's going to be too wet and muddy to do anything at home. So people might as well come and shop and learn about how to get ready for the upcoming show and riding season.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, we've got so many trails in the southeastern part of the United States and so many great horse shows and horse events. And, you know, there's something for everybody. And I'm just of the opinion you can learn something from everybody you watch. Everybody you listen to can teach you something if your mind is just open to it. So, and I just encourage mm-hmm. people to go out. And if you don't know anything about Western dressage, go sit in on that session. If you don't know anything about colt starting or you don't know anything about posting a trot or making a lead change, sit in on something that's maybe a little bit outside your comfort zone, because you can really learn a lot that's going to be, you know, fun, and it's going to help both you and your horse.
Yeah, I remember when I was younger that I was at some clinics and the clinician said, you know, if you take one thing home this weekend and can do it well, it's been a successful weekend for you. And I think that's probably true. You know, even if it's just one or two things, go home and improve your program at the house, and, you know, it's money well spent.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, in looking at your lineup, I mean, it doesn't really make a difference what discipline you ride or what breed you have, or even if you have one of those breedless horses, you know, that's, you know, a Heinz 57. a lot of the techniques or the instruction that you'll be watching can apply to anybody, no matter, you know, where you are. So I just love that we have this in the Middle Tennessee area. And I know, Patrick, you've persevered through, you know, it was a tough road, I think, you know, getting this new event off the ground. And it's not new anymore. You've been around for a while. And it's such a great resource for horse people here in the South.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, we're not the biggest in the country, but I think our quality will hold up with anybody. And I think the hard thing that will be for people that are attending the event is to decide where they want to be, because, you know, we've got 3-4 arenas going on at a time, and it's going to be sometimes challenging. I've tried to set it up so, you know, we didn't have 2 gated horse people going on at the same time, or, yeah, you know, something like that, so that they could kind of pick and choose what arenas. But sometimes, you know, like you just said, they might want to learn from Taylor McIntosh or Michael Gasson or Ben Wallace, who are colt starters. They're doing some clinics. And I've got Julie Goodnight, Craig Johnson, and, you know, Lance Graves in the main arena. So yeah, it's going to be difficult, I think, for some people to pick and choose what they want to do. But like you said, maybe they'll just get trapped in one area and sit and listen to somebody they've never heard of. And they might think, wow, that guy's really good, or that gal was awesome. I never heard of her before. And now they'll start following them. So
absolutely,
maybe it will be a good thing.
Oh, I think it will. And so, Patrick, tell everybody where people can find you online.
Okay. We have a website. It's www.southernequineexpo.com. So all one word, southernequineexpo.com. And all of our information is on there, clinics, ticket information, the schedules up there, and also the vendors are also up there, and so is the camping and stuff like that. So if people want to come and hook up an RV or to hook their trailer up and camp right on site, they can do that.
Wow, that's awesome. Well, Patrick, thank you so much for coming on. I know you've got a busy day, and we'll let you get back to it. But everybody, southernequineexpo.com. Go out, attend the event. You're going to learn a lot and have a lot of fun. Patrick, thank you, and have a really, really great event.
Thank you, and I appreciate the time. And Lucy, clear your calendar for the last week in February in 2008. You need to come back.
I will. I'll do it. Thanks.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
We all get in a rut when it comes to shopping for horse supplies online. If you have not tried horselovers.com yet, then you are missing out on one of the world's largest online tack shops and all the best brands like Noble Outfitters, Ariat, Turn 2, Tough One, Professional's Choice, Weaver, and many, many more. Visit horselovers.com every day to see their daily deals and flash sales. Horselovers.com has everything for the Western and trail rider. So get on over to horselovers.com today. Day and save.
And we're Jennifer, I believe, is going to talk to us a little bit about this health segment. Now, Jennifer gets to do these health segments with Dr. Cuban, and she never lets anybody else know when they're going to be. So she gets to do it all by herself.
I get all the veterinarians and nutritionists and stuff to myself.
I know. And some of us really like that stuff. So, but you're going to talk to Dr. Cubitt and tell everybody what you talked about, because it's something that's near and dear to, I think, all women's hearts.
Yeah, well, calories. That's true. Good point. Yeah. Good, appropriate topic for Girls' Day.
Girls' Day, calories.
Yeah. Over the next couple of months, we're doing a series with various and sundry experts that I'm calling the horse health glossary, and we're just taking a lot of terms that we are familiar with but may not understand what they really mean, and having the experts explain them. And Dr. Cubitts is going to be the first in the series, and this time we are going to define, or for some folks maybe redefine, the words energy and calorie.
Awesome. Cool. Let's take a listen. Brought to you by Indy.
And I'm once again pleased to welcome back Dr. Tanya Cubitt from Performance Horse Nutrition. And this time out, we are going to do a horse nutrition glossary. It's going to be a 5-part series, and we're going to define some of the important and oft-used words that you hear nutritionists, feed manufacturers, and horse people around the world using so that you know what you're talking about. Welcome back to the show, Dr. Tanya Cubitt.
Thank you, Jennifer. As always, it's great to be back. Great to be talking about things that sometimes get misused. Sometimes people aren't using them the right way. So I'm glad to be hopefully enlightening people a little.
You are here to clear up the confusing bits.
Excellent.
So
I'll do my best.
And you always do such a great job. It makes so much more sense after you tell me about it. So this is our first of 5 parts, and the words we are going to tackle today, I feel like I'm making an episode of Sesame Street. Today's show brought to you by the letter E. E for energy, and the letter C for calorie. We're going to talk about energy and calorie, singular and plural. So help
Excellent.
Us out. What are they? What do they mean? And why are we using them?
Well, I would say probably one of the most common questions I get is, I want to put more weight on my horse, but I don't want him to have any more energy. Well, and I might use the term calorie versus energy. Well, what am I really talking about? The simplest way to think about energy and calorie is to think about weight. Body weight is to pounds, like energy is to calories. Calories is the way that we measure energy, just like pounds is the way that we measure body weight. Make sense?
Oh, okay. Now I'm getting there. It's clearing
exactly.
up. Yep, we're almost there.
Clearing up. Excellent. So some other really important things to note about energy when we're talking about horses is that we measure energy and we call it digestible energy when we're talking about horses. So we'll have a DE value and we'll measure that in megacalories. Usually if you see it written, it'll be megacalories per pound and it would be a capital M, a small C-A-L per pound. And they're just the units that we use in horses. Unlike in people, you'll see calories written on your food label. This is where it can get a little technical. That calorie that you see written in your food label is actually a kilocalorie, so 1,000 calories. But for ease of our use, labels will just have the word calorie written. Horses are huge, so they need a lot more calories to maintain body weight and energy level and just life. So instead of writing out, 1,000 or 100,000 calories, we term them megacalories. The other thing to note about energy is very rarely will you ever see it written on a bagged feed tag because it's not actually a measured value. Like a fiber might be a measured value. In a lab, you can test the amount of fiber. It's a calculated value, and we take into account certain other measurable ingredients in the feed. For example, protein, fiber that is digestible, as well as fibers that aren't digestible, fats, non-structural carbohydrates, as well as another term called ash, which is really you just burn it all up and what's left over. So it's a calculated value. It's not an actual analyzed value. And there are several different calculations. Most people use a standard calculation, but we don't all have to use the same one. So there can be some deviation in the digestible energy values based on, which calculation has that company chosen to use? So does that make it more confusing or less confusing?
It's starting to get fuzzy again. I think we need to turn the little eyeball testing kit back the other direction a little bit.
Yes. So I think that the main thing we need to realize is if you hear the word calorie, it's really just a measure of energy. If you hear the word energy, energy means, it can mean several different things. A lot of people will think of energy when they think of their horse's behavior. Oh, he's got far too much energy. Well,
right.
That's a different way of using the term energy. When we talk about energy in food, it's really what's sustaining life, what's giving you energy to perform daily functions, to support all of the processes in the body, keep you living. Excess energy will definitely be used, perhaps if your horse has an excitable type behavior, temperament. Anyway, excess energy can do that. Excess energy will also be laid down as fat. And so if your horse is fat, he's getting excess energy. And if another way to say that is he's getting excess calories, because calories are just the measurement of energy.
Got it. So if any given food product that our horse, or us for that matter, ingests is high energy, it's also high calorie, because calorie, it's like if you've got a bowl of water, yes, you have a bowl of water, that's energy, but that bowl of water is exactly one cup, that's calorie.
Yes.
Got it. Yay! It finally cleared up. Thank you, Dr. Tanya Cubitt. Yes.
So if you go to your veterinarian or nutritionist and you say, I need to feed my horse more calories, but I don't want to give him extra energy, that's really not a possible thing. Now we can go a little more technical, and there are different types of foods that you can feed to your horse that will elicit different behavioral responses in your horse. We know that when you feed high sugars and starches, they can quickly be turned into energy, and some horses respond differently to those, and it may elicit a more excitable response. You could feed the exact same amount of energy or calories, but in a different form, say in fats or highly digestible fibers, and it is slower to digest and turn into energy, so it elicits a different behavioral response in your horse.
It's kind of like
really to say
when the kids go to grandma's house and she feeds them gummy bears.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Versus taking the kids to grandma's house and she feeds them turkey dinner. Two different kids at the end of the day.
Exactly. And if we took our little science lab over there and we calculated exactly how much energy, i.e. calories, was in the gummy bears versus the turkey dinner, we might say, oh, it was exactly the same, but why is my child completely different? And it was just the way the body responds to different types of energy.
There we go. That seals it up right there. So when folks have many, many questions floating around in their heads about horse nutrition, where can they find Dr. Tanya Cubitt?
They can find me at Performance Horse Nutrition. Our website is performancehorsenutrition.com. Phone number, fax, email is all on our website.
And of course, the health segment is brought to you by IndiFlax. And IndiFlax is family owned. They've been doing it for generations. IndiFlax has an FDA inspected mill. It's certified organic, non-GMO, and it's whole flaxseed, and it's milled at room temperature, then packaged and stored away at room temperature away from any heat or light sources. Now, this milling process keeps all of the omega-3s intact, so your horse can benefit from all of flax's natural ingredients, yet it is convenient for busy horse owners with a shelf life of up to 2 years. No more daily battles with the coffee grinder. You have done flax seeds. You know what I'm talking about. And then that's like enough for one horse. It's annoying. Visit IndiFlax online at IndiFlaxMill.com to purchase or learn more. Plus, I mean, I don't know why you would, because Baby Zara is entered, but you can see your horse on the label by entering it in the picture contest. The winner will win 6 months of your horse photo on their new label and one free bag of cold milled flax feed for every 6 months. So we put a link on our Horses in the Morning and Auditor Facebook pages. And there are so many entries. Jennifer, have you looked through all of the entries? And I don't know if you've seen it, Lisa. And looking at the names, I'm so happy that so many of our names are recognized of our listeners who have heard about it here and have entered the contest. And I don't know if voting on other people's pictures, like if you click like, takes away from my own picture, so I haven't liked anybody's, but like
it's an add and subtract.
I love some of these pictures. They're so good. I mean, gosh, I think Kimberly just posted one that I wanted to like so bad, but I can't because I liked my own. I already voted.
How many am I allowed to like? Can I just vote for like 35 of them?
I don't know. I because again, I didn't want to screw with the competing here, but I like everybody else's. I just haven't clicked like on your pictures. So there you go.
Yeah.
That's all I can say. I don't know. I mean, and of course, Uta, our listener of a long time, is the social media contest goddess. And she like went on and has shared on social media 4,000 times. Click on her picture. And of course, she has like 127 likes, and I have like 4 because they were all me.
She knows how to campaign, Jamie. See? You gotta learn from the best.
But you know what? I don't think it's based on votes. So, to you,
is it based on that $20 that you sent to the ND Flax folks? Is that what it's based on?
There you go.
I'd do it for $20. I want my horse to be on a bag.
That would be so cool.
I know, right, Lisa?
Yeah, Lisa needs to be on the bag.
I posted many pictures of him on the, because you can post it up to 4, and I think over half of them were him, and Zara gets way more likes than Zeus. So.
Interesting.
Well, she's a baby.
Well, I know, but still, he's cute.
Oh, he's like the cutest thing ever.
Yeah.
Except for her. Lisa, do you own a horse right now? Or are you in between horses? Or
well,
you just...
I have a therapeutic riding center, and we have 4 therapy horses that I get to see every day. And we have an off-the-track thoroughbred and a Belgian quarter horse cross and a solid-colored Appaloosa and a saddlebred. So they're all amazing.
Do you have 4 horses then? That's cool. Well, where is your center?
It's in Ashland City, Tennessee. It's called Colby's Army, and we do things in addition to therapeutic riding. We do organic gardening and job training and homeless outreach, and so it's a lot of fun. It all kind of circles around and ties back together, though. But the horses are kind of a big part of it.
Now, do you prefer mares or geldings? I mean, because it's a kind of a polarizing question, but I think in the job that your horses are having to do, are they all geldings or are they all mares or some of both?
Well, we have 2 mares and 2 geldings, but that's a really interesting question. And so here's my take. When I used to show Appaloosa horses, and when I was showing, I always told my clients that geldings were the steady eddies, and you could get a gelding who would win by default because he would never, ever make a mistake, ever. He would just be solid. But mares, when they're on, they might be a little inconsistent, but when a mare is on, she can be brilliant. So when a mare is really in the zone and performing or doing whatever her job is, she can be absolutely amazing.
Okay, I don't think you answered my question. Which do you prefer?
I was trying to talk around the question.
Answer the damn question. Which do you like, mares or geldings?
Oh, gee. I like both.
Okay. Let me. Okay. Are you going to answer or not?
I am. So for me personally, I think I'd have to go with a mare.
Really? Okay. See, that's interesting. I don't think that the geldings are going to get mad at you because they're even. They don't care.
They don't care.
So I have always been a strict gelding person. And I'm a gelding person mainly because my horse growing up was a gelding and I loved him. And then I had a mare that was really difficult, and I was never should have had a mare that young. And, you know, the mare was young. I was 19 and I didn't know what I was doing. And so it didn't give me a good taste in my mouth. And then having the lesson horses that I have, you know, certain geldings get particular about certain mares, and then they come into heat and then everybody starts fighting. And I'm trying to teach children riding lessons on these. And so having a horse that is not focused on his job and is focused on where the mare is not work for me.
I agree. And I agree that, you know, for lesson purposes, and I go into barns and teach clinics all day long. And there are a lot of barns, a lot of lesson barns, and a lot of therapeutic riding centers that only have geldings. They don't even have a mare on the property.
Well,
and
that's how I've been. No mares on this property. I've tried it twice and it's always been difficult. So that was my thing is what?
Oh, I was just going to say, for me personally, I like the challenge of a mare. And I had a mare growing up, so maybe that you had a gelding growing up, and I had a mare growing up, so maybe that kind of shaped our opinions, maybe.
Maybe. Well, I've always been a mare person strictly. Strictly a gelding person. And then I realized that I really prefer, I'm going to have this baby, this foal, and it is going to be a black colt. It is going to be a black colt. It's going to look like the daddy and have the attitude of mama. Well, yeah. Black colt, Jennifer, just wait calling the guest. It's like I said, going 5 minutes late is going to be okay. Sorry, I couldn't type that and talk at the same time. So I have this list.
You can't write. We understand. You can't write. Yeah,
I know. I can't do everything at once. And I have this list. So of course, I prefer I'm going to have a black colt. And of course, it comes out a damn chestnut mare. Okay. It's a chestnut filly. And I was not what I was expecting. And of course, I love her dearly. But like, are you freaking kidding me? A chestnut mare?
You know what, though? Because I think we were talking earlier about sometimes life delivers you just what you need, even though you think that's not what you want. I
did say that. And yes. And so I've been doing a little research on mares v. geldings, and I found a list from Horse and Hound of 15 reasons why mares are better than geldings.
Really?
And usually the lists always say why geldings are better than mares. So I don't know. I haven't really read this. I don't know if it's sarcastic. I don't know if it's true. So being that you're a mare person, you can tell me if these are true or not. Cool?
Yeah.
Got it. Okay. All right. So their number one is, call it evolution, but mares appear to have a greater sense of self-preservation. They're less inclined to, you know, reverse into a ditch in a panic, or, you know, they're going to, if they're bolt away from the tractor, they're going to take care of you and they're not going to run under low branches because they don't want to hurt themselves. Is that true?
I think that's true.
Okay.
I think that's true. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, mares are nurturing. Mares are more nurturing.
Okay. Or they're just, they protect themselves. So.
Well, they protect themselves. They're nurturing themselves, you know, but.
They're nurturing themselves. They don't care about you. You just stay on.
Exactly.
I'll take care of you.
Yeah.
For similar reasons, they're probably less likely to touch a pole show jumping. They would rather stop cross country than flip over it. So that is a bonus. So again, that goes back to the self-preservation. It's not you, it's them. They just want to take care of themselves.
I think when they're on, I think they can try a lot harder than the gelding.
Okay. They say that they will move out of the way of assailants in a pasture, those bad horses that come up to them. But geldings will kind of come up to all the horses and go, can we be friends? And mares basically show the RBF, resting bitch face, and they don't care what a gelding does. They don't want to be friends with anybody. And so they're not going to get hurt in a pasture.
Yes. Yes. We have two mares, two geldings. The geldings are always beat up. We're always doctoring the geldings, never the mares.
See, but that's because you have mares in with geldings. The mares are the problem. Okay, so hold on. I'm going to let that go. I'm trying to open my horizons.
Yes, yes.
Training a mare will improve your negotiation skills tenfold.
Yes.
You go from a mediator to a United Nations peace envoy. Is that true?
That's true, yes. Yes.
So it says training a mare will teach you that you're better off asking nicely than getting what than just demanding things. Yes. Very true.
Yes, true.
Okay. They're a lot neater and tidier. Is that true?
I think that depends on the individual. We have one mare who is a slob, just okay. A slob. So I think an individual preference.
I think so too. My Mustangs, like Thor, he tells everybody in the pasture they're only allowed to poop in like one or two places. And they used to be poop everywhere until I got Thor, and Thor like is the police.
Want him.
I know. It's weird. I used to have to clean the pasture like crazy. Now there's two spots where they poop. They're llamas now.
I instituted a ban against pooping in the pastures earlier this week. I spent an hour and a half dragging the pasture, and I said, no more poop. We're just not going to poop anymore.
Yeah, no more pooping in here. But yeah. The mare, like Pink, I mean, because I haven't had that many mares, Pink in her stall, she just shreds it. Just shreds it. Like, yeah. Let's poop and let's like grind it in and walk around and like really
Yeah.
Really get the horse dirty.
Yeah.
To point out the obvious, you can't breed a foal from your beloved gelding.
This is true.
I was really going for the true false on that one. Speaking of, I'm not even going to get started on my next thing. Unlike geldings, mares are unlikely to lick or slobber on you. And admittedly, they say probably it's because they're too busy pinning their ears at you.
I had never considered that, but I would say that is true. I'd never thought about that, but yes.
Okay. You can put pink bandages and pink blingy brow bands without having to correct people to their gender. And yes, because if you like, I think that Zeus looks adorable in pink, but I can't do it because people always think, oh, that's a nice mare. I'm like, it's a boy. Then why is he wearing pink? Same thing. Yeah. So now Zara is going to be blinged out in some pink.
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. You have to. Yes.
Now, the horse and hound number 9 on this list says mares are often sharper and smarter than geldings, as so often is the case of the female of any species. And they did put in parentheses that basically all of the people that work there are girls. it's very true. Mares are smarter than geldings.
I would think so. Yes. Although I have worked with some very, very intelligent geldings. I have to say that. But in general, probably yes.
Okay. Geldings are generally up for a cuddle. Mares make you work harder for any affection. And they say it's like it's having a cat as opposed to a dog. Geldings like everybody, but mares are more selective and make their owners feel special. True?
True. True. Yeah, we have, so our lead mare is the Belgian Quarter Horse Cross, and she loves her spa days, but she doesn't want to let you know that because then that would be like, you know, showing a weakness. So she'll kind of like sink into like the grooming, and then she just like jumps in place. It's like, you didn't catch me enjoying that.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
that's a mare. See? That's a mare.
That's a mare. They say that here that they're kind of more athletic and balanced. I don't know about that.
I don't know about that either. I think that's another individual thing, you know. That has to go with conformation and, you know, general coordination. I don't know.
If we received a pound, because this is a British magazine, for every occasion we've heard a rider say, if you get a good mare, they really, really try for you, then we double our salaries. And I believe that is the first thing that you opened the segment
with. I did. Yeah. Yep. Yep.
See, so, I just need to get a really, really good mare. And maybe I just had her as a baby. Yeah. And then finally, mares do a commendable job of keeping all the geldings in the yard in check. If you left a gelding in charge, chaos would ensue.
Yeah, so I'm going to get my facts wrong. I think it was Texas A&M that published a research study a couple of years ago, and they found that all gelding herds, a herd that did not have a lead mare in charge, were sleep deprived because they didn't feel like they could stretch out because there was no mare to watch over them and keep them safe.
God, all my poor horses up here, they must be exhausted.
Yeah, I hope the listeners kind of maybe Google that and check that out. And it might not have been Texas A&M, but it was one of the big research universities for horses. And it's a really interesting study.
That is super interesting. Now, that's the end of the list. And you're making me feel better about having a mare, and I do appreciate it. Now, Jennifer, we need to play the ad and the song. Are you ready to do that?
I think she's calling a guest, maybe.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what she wants me to do. This is where we usually have Glenn as well. So,
And so Glenn's probably getting ready to get on an airplane by this time, because I'm sure it only took him 2 minutes to get to the airport with his... Oh, he was driving, wasn't he?
I was going to say, he's already there.
No, he's probably pulled over on the side of the road with a ticket.
So it's going to take him a little while longer.
Yeah.
All right. Here we go. Well, Jennifer, I think Jennifer is ready. Let's hear from Fairfield, and then we're going to play Beaches of Cheyenne by the original author, Dan Roberts.
Awesome.
Well, I hope I'm going to play it. Let's see.
Fairfield Inn and Suites North by Marriott Lexington is the ideal hotel for you, as they are the closest hotel to the Kentucky Horse Park. They have the most spacious guest rooms and suites in the area, and they're only 4 miles from downtown Lexington. Fairfield Inn and Suites North offers complimentary breakfast, free Wi-Fi throughout the hotel, free parking, a business center, an indoor swimming pool and jacuzzi, an outdoor patio with grill, laundry facilities, and much more. You get hungry, Cracker Barrel is located right next door, and there are 4 other dining options available within walking distance for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Of course, Lexington is known for the Kentucky Horse Park, University of Kentucky, Keeneland, and the historical Kentucky Bourbon Trail. Enjoy a terrific hotel experience while you're touring Lexington. There's no denying that the Lexington North Fairfield Inn & Suites is the best value in town and will meet all your hospitality needs. Just Google Fairfield in North Lexington and make your reservations today.
Packed up all his buckles, shipped his saddle to his dad. And by the way the house looked, she must have took it bad. The workers come on Monday to fix the door and patch the walls. They say she just went crazy the night she got the call. He was up in Wyoming, drew a bull no man could ride. He promised her he'd turn out, well it turned out that he lied. And all the dreams that they'd been living in the California sand died right there beside him in Cheyenne. They say she just went crazy, screaming out his name. She ran out into the ocean, and to this day they claim that you can go down by the water and see her footprints in the sand. 'Cause every night she walks the beaches of Cheyenne. They never found her body, just her diary by the bed. They told about the fight they'd had and the words that she had said. When he told her he was riding, she said, "Then I don't give a damn if you never come back from Cheyenne." They say she just went crazy, screaming out his name. She ran out into the ocean, and to this day they claim that if you go down by the water, you'll see her footprints in the sand. 'Cause every night she walks the beaches of Cheyenne. Nobody can explain it. Some say she's still alive. They even claim they've seen her on the shoreline late at night. And if you go down by the water, you'll see her footprints in the sand. 'Cause every night she walks the beaches of Cheyenne. Every night she walks the beaches of Cheyenne.
That That is Dan Roberts, Beaches of Cheyenne. And my gosh, I mean, that's the Garth Brooks song, but he's the actual author of it. So
the songwriter. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he's the songwriter.
He has such a pure voice, doesn't he? I mean, just such an easy listening guy to listen to when he's singing.
You know, we had him on the show, Lisa, and we did a musical episode, but it was before our sound was better, so we needed to do it again. But it was really fun to play a song and then talk to him and then play a song and talk to him. And he was rounding up cattle while we were talking to him.
Fabulous.
I mean, you could hear them mooing in the background. It was awesome. It was a long time ago. We needed to do it again and catch back up with him. But anyway, you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. Brought to you today by our friends at horselovers.com. And I believe our next guest is ready. Is that correct, Jennifer? We're
that
guest
is absolutely
ready?
Correct.
All right. And we've got Jim Masterson on the phone with us, and he is here to talk to us about the Masterson method. It's an integrated method of equine massage. Now, Lisa is very familiar with the Masterson method. I am completely unfamiliar. So we decided I should do the interview because I have no idea what I'm going to talk about. So, Jim, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Fantastic. Thank you so much for coming on and talking to us this morning. Tell me what the Masterson method is.
Okay, I will. I don't have to sing, do I? I don't have cows in the background. But
there's no cows,
the dog
no
might
singing.
Start barking.
That's a different episode. Dogs
the dog
are very
might start
welcome.
Barking during
that. Very welcome.
Okay.
Very welcome.
All right. So I'll tell you what the Masterson method is. Well, I have the 15-second elevator speech. It's a method of equine body work where we learn how to read and follow the horse's responses to our touch as we do the body work, and to help it release tension in key junctions of the body that most affect performance. So it's kind of an interactive method of releasing tension in the horse that I kind of got into when I was grooming show jumpers and watching therapists work on the show horses, massage therapists, chiropractors. And I noticed the horses would give there were certain changes in behavior while they were working on the horse, sometimes very subtle, sometimes not so subtle. And I noticed those, and the therapist didn't necessarily notice them so much because they were doing what they were trained to do. And I wasn't trained to do anything. I was just observing. But I started experimenting with some bodywork techniques following what the horse's changes in behavior were telling me, and it developed into a pretty effective method of equine body work. So
what type of horses?
A quick version.
That was good. That was good. I'm trying to keep up. So what type of horses do you see?
Well, it works on any horses. I initially was working on show horses, competition horses, because it was effective.
What type?
When
like
you're following
jumpers?
What the horse's body is telling you, then they were show jumpers. Yeah.
Show jumpers. Okay. Sorry.
And it was very interactive and there was a lot of communication with the horse involved, you know, actual visual and palpable communication. So people wanted to start to learn it. So I started teaching it, and people that are involved in all kinds of horses, just from horse owners that have their, you know, their old Shep to people that compete in endurance and people that compete in other disciplines wanted to learn it not only because it works, but because of the interaction with the horse. It improves your relationship with your horse.
And
so
how does the horse communicate with you when you are doing it? Like how do they act like they really like a certain spot? Like with me, I get a massage and I'm like, oh, right there. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Keep going. Right there.
Yeah.
How do they do that?
Well, that's the cool thing about it, because horses, you know, they can't talk. So, for example, there's a technique that we start with called the bladder meridian technique, and I call it that because you run your hand very lightly down a line that goes basically along the top line of the horse, very lightly without pushing. And as you run your finger, I call it with air gap pressure, barely touching. As you run your finger starting at the pole down the side of the top line of the horse, if you watch the horse's eye, at certain points he might blink, or the eyelid might just twitch, or the lips might twitch. Now, you might think that's nothing, but if you go back over that same spot and the horse's eyelid, he blinks again, that means something. There's a correlation between what you're doing and what the horse is doing. So that's an example of a subtle response from the horse, him telling you that there's something there. The next interesting part of this is if you just wait there and do nothing without pushing, just hold your hand there on that spot, eventually the horse will start to send circulation to that area and he'll start to release tension there. And he'll tell you when he's releasing tension with other larger responses, such as the first is licking and chewing, which, you know, is an indication of relaxation in the horse. But if you stay there longer and there's more tension to release, he might start to snort and sneeze repeatedly. Or when you get a big release of tension, the horse will start to yawn repeatedly over and over and over again. So those are examples of visual, what I call responses from the horse to touch that tell you he's releasing tension in that area.
Now, I don't mean to sound like I don't know what I'm talking about, but I don't know what I'm talking about. Is this kind of like a Reiki type thing?
Well, that particular technique, a lot of people that are trained in Reiki, they can relate to that because, and they relate to it probably on an energy, you know, from point of view of energy. The way I relate to it is that we're bringing the horse's awareness to an area that he's been holding tension, and the horses block out. They block out pain and tension in order to survive. They're a survival animal. So if they start limping at the first sign of discomfort, then their survival is threatened. So they're programmed to block it out. So if you can keep their attention on that long enough, and at a level of pressure that they can't brace against it or block it out, their body will start to release it. But that's just one example of looking for subtle responses. The actual body work itself involves other techniques that involve asking for movement in certain areas of the horse's body. So it's not really massage. There aren't many massage techniques in this method, but there are techniques that ask for movement. For example, we'll go down the horse's neck using his nose to gently move each vertebra, wiggle each vertebra of the neck. And when you move a joint or a junction or a muscle in the horse through a range of motion in a relaxed state, the horse will release tension in that joint or junction or muscle. And you'll know when he's released the tension with these larger responses, the repeated yawning, snorting, and sneezing. And then you'll also notice he's released the tension when you go back over moving down, I call it lateral flexion of the neck in that particular technique. When you go back over the neck, asking for the horse to bring his nose around in a relaxed state, the restrictions you found, the resistance that you ran into, will be gone or improved. You know, it's not like you push a button and all the horse is perfect, but you'll get an improvement in the range of motion by asking for the movement in a relaxed state.
Okay. Anybody listening right now, is it just me or does like this?
It
makes it very clear, but I'm saying anybody listening right now, do you guys have like your back is starting to like, I want a massage so bad right now. I can't stand it. Your voice is so relaxing. And like, you're just like, you're bringing the little sore spots in me out just talking to you.
Well, I guess that's good, but I don't work on people because they kick and bite.
Jim, this is Lisa. I have a quick question for you. I do some clinics, and I ran into you at one clinic a couple years ago, and I can't remember where it was. It was maybe at the Midwest Horse Fair or someplace. Okay. you did a really great session about talking about the fact that just about anybody can learn to do this, but also you spent some time up on the top of the horse's back, at the highest point of the horse's back, talking about hind end lamenesses. And I think that's something that a lot of just the average horse owner, it's hard to diagnose a hind end lameness. It's hard for a lot of people to see it, but it's so important, you know, that part of the horse, you know, be loose and pain free, and they can get like muscle spasms, like really deep in there. And I thought that was really interesting that you mentioned that.
Well, they, like I said, they're programmed to cover up and block out pain. They have no option. We can do something about it. We can complain, or we can go to the doctor or the chiropractor, but a horse has to just kind of block it out and keep going to survive. So they'll build up some pretty deep tension, and you may not even know it's there until it shows up in their movement and performance. So I think it's cool, but the cool thing about this method of really following what the horse's body is telling you is that the horse will let you know where there's deep tension in the body, and you can release a lot deeper tension than is on the surface with very, very light techniques. Some of the techniques, like I said, are very light and some ask for movement. And a lot of them, it's the combination of both that get the deep release of tension. So an interesting that shows up when you're doing this body work is that you might be working on one area of the horse, say the lower neck, and the horse will feel it behind and he'll kind of stomp the ground. So you've just uncovered something in the horse that's related to the hind end and the lower neck. And then if you go to look at the anatomy book, for example, there's the longissimus dorsi, which is a big fancy word for the long back muscle. They run down each side of the back. It attaches in the lower neck at one end, and it attaches in the at the pelvis and sacrum on the other. So when you're bringing the horse's attention to one end of that muscle, he's feeling it in the other, and that those two areas might be related to the hind end issue, both of those areas. And the other thing about hind end, what I call mystery lamenesses, they're undiagnosed lamenesses. The vet can't find anything in the feet and the legs and the joints, but the horse is still short strided behind or not quite right or gets uncomfortable behind doing certain things. Using light techniques, you can get the horse to release the deeper core muscles that are associated with that problem. With that issue.
Oh my
issue.
God, this is awesome. So, I'm so excited.
And anybody can learn how to read the horse and see what the horse is doing and help the horse to release tension where the horse is telling you the horse has tension. You don't have to know the name of the muscle or the bone or anything.
Well, and where can people learn more about the Masterson method, Jim? Because, I mean, I'm certainly interested. You know, I think all of the people that listen to the show
I was just going to say,
everybody on that listens to the show wants to improve the life of their horse, and it sounds like something we can all do. So tell us, please.
Well, that's what I do now is teach people how to work on their own horses and how to do this with their horses. And so MastersonMethod.com is our website, and we have I've written a couple books on releasing tension in your horse, and we have Beyond Horse Massage is the fundamental one, and then there's a video Beyond Horse Massage that goes with it. We teach weekend clinics around the country. I have a few instructors that work with me, and we teach clinics around the country, and then we do an advanced course, and then we have a certification process. When I started teaching the weekend clinics, other massage therapists started coming, and they were asking about certification and learning more. So I developed a certification program. And another cool thing, there are a lot of cool things about this, but on the website we have training videos. We have a YouTube channel, so if you click on training videos, it'll take you to our YouTube channel. And I think I have probably 30 or 40 short videos on YouTube on using different techniques. So you don't have to buy anything to start learning this. You can go on YouTube and start learning it. And if you're inspired by it, then you can come to us and learn more. So
wonderful. Well, that
we make
is
it easy for the horse and the owner.
Yes, absolutely. It's MastersonMethod.com. I want to thank you so much for coming on today and talking to us about it. And thanks for helping horses.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you. Thank you for calling.
All right. Jim Masterson, MastersonMethod.com if you want to learn more about it. All I know is I need a dang massage right now. I need some energist standing behind me, releasing tension. This is amazing.
Well, what I like about it is I mean, anybody can learn to do this. And yeah. I mean, I've watched him, you know, doing some clinics and things, and it really is, you know, you can just read your horse's body and his instructional videos, and they're just so easy to follow. At least they were for me. So I think it's just amazing.
Well, I'm excited. Now I've got to talk a little bit about. Let's see. Over the weekend, I went to Monty Roberts. He had an organization called Lead Up, and it was the launch of this new organization called Lead Up. So Monty was going to go and work a horse in the round pen and do some join up, and then, you know, go out, and then there was like a dinner thing. So yeah. The way the Monty's round pens are is there's a walkway. You stand around the top of it and you like look down into the round pen watching him work. Okay. So that's going on. I have my son Lucas who sees the horse coming and wants to watch the horse in the round pen. Okay. And so everybody is standing and I'm holding him in front of me and everybody is standing up. All around, it's super quiet. You're going to watch the master work on a horse. And, you know, as they do, the horse poops when it goes in to the stall, into the round pen. And very quietly, my son, because I've been telling him, be quiet. Because when you talk, it echoes through the whole thing because it's like a covered round pen and you're looking right. down into it. So
right.
The horses and people can hear everything. So he turns to me and he looks and he goes, "Mom, it pooped." And I said, yes, I know it pooped. Horses do that. And then because Monty doesn't work the horse with the poop because the footing is special. So somebody has to walk in and clean up the poop. It's just what they do.
Yeah.
So the door opens and this is honest to God, a true story because Monty actually yelled, "I need that voice to quiet down" afterwards. After my son said this. So they walk in to the round pen. Everybody's really quiet. Everybody's calm. Everybody's watching Monty work the horse, but he has stopped it to let them come in and clean up the poop. And they come in to clean it. And my son goes, Mom, we have a fork just like that, the blue and yellow one. As loud as you could possibly be. He was so excited that they were using a flexing fork. to clean up the poop. And he was so calm and so quiet before that. And he was like, "It pooped." I was so proud of him for saying that quietly and not being like, "Mom, it pooped." So they bring in the stinking blue and yellow flexing fork, which is the greatest manure fork of all time, obviously.
It's fabulous. Yeah.
And because it's so recognizable, thanks for that. My son completely disrupts and disturbs the entire join-up process that was happening in front of me where all these people are quiet. The rest of the night, people kept coming up to me being like, "Oh, you're the one who, yeah, you have the, okay, yeah." Because after he said this, Monty's like, "I need the boys up there quiet now."
Okay, I need to do something. Hold on one moment.
I don't want to be that girl.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I deserve that.
Were you just like totally, totally embarrassed?
Oh my God, it's horrifying. And then, so I'm like, I gotta get them all to her. Like, I gotta, no, I want to see the horse. No, then it becomes this battle and then it's a fight. And the whole time Monty's like working this horse and all he knows is somebody's talking. And all he keeps saying is, "I need that voice to quiet down up there. I need that voice quiet." And I'm like, my God, this is not ending. I am disrupting like this. And it's a stud colt that he's in there using. I'm like, oh my God, how can I get out of here? And it just, and as I, the more I try to pull him away, the more he's holding, clinging on to the side of the round pin. I can't say, I want to say the horse.
Don't you want to just like put your hand over his mouth and just like.
And everybody's looking at you and you can't beat your child in front of everybody while he's looking at you. You can't like suffocate him. So basically I'm just trying to calmly get this kid out of here. Monty's yelling, "I need that voice to quiet down." And it's all the damn fault of the flexing fork. So there's your commercial, Jennifer.
The flexing fork creating that girl moments. Yeah.
Yes, I can see the ad now.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I can good just times. See the video ad. So how many people were there?
Oh, gosh, there had to be 60 people there.
My goodness.
Oh, yeah. No, it was horrifying. And everybody is very well dressed. It's like a really fancy event. And of course, you know, it's like raining. I'm like completely covered in mud. My kid earlier in the day was like, "Mom, watch this." And we're running a splash in a puddle, fell face first. Like, so we're a disaster. And all these people are like super well dressed. They're here to celebrate the launch of Lead Up. And it's great. And here's me, like, I've got like dirt on my face. I've got a muddy 3-year-old who's screaming that we have that fork.
Good
there
ad.
You go. Equity good dot. What's the website, Jennifer? I don't even want to think about it anymore. That fork has caused me massive embarrassment.
It's equitymfg.com.
Get use yours today. Your own risk, people. Just use it at your own risk.
Oh man, yeah, you're just full of great stories today.
That's Yeah, to basically just embarrass myself in public. Welcome. All right. Well, Lucas has actually come in now. Do you want to tell everybody what you're doing right now? I don't know if you can hear the chirping. Can you hear? I don't know if you can hear the chirping, but we do. Yeah, that's 1, 2, 3. That's 5 baby chicks in my office.
Oh, how cool.
Yeah, and he's trying to catch them. And so the chirping is about to get louder.
The chirping is terrorized baby chickens is what the chirping is.
Yeah, exactly.
So they're just running around loose? They're not, like, confined in a box?
No, God, they're not pooping on my floor. I'd get divorced. They are in a little, they're actually in a little cage, and I put them out during the day, but it's still too cold at night, so they have to come inside at night, Lisa. Yeah. And if you could explain why that has to happen to my husband, that'd be great.
I'm really curious is why it is, as humans, we feel a need to give a chicken something that is designed to live out of doors in the dirt and the rocks and the muck and the mire and the mud a towel to sleep on.
Because chickens are awesome.
Their little baby feet can't handle the wood yet. They've got a little towel, and this is a ticker towel, and they're sitting on the ticker towel, and they're very happy. And I can just peel it out and throw it in the box.
So next time we come to stay at Flyover Farms, I'm going to be sure there's no ticker towel in our bathroom. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You'll watch
Don't use that one.
Yeah. You know, a lot of, not a lot, but some therapeutic riding centers also have therapy chickens.
Really?
And therapy chickens are awesome. They calm people down. You just cuddle a chicken and hold it and sit there and rock back and forth. And it's very calming.
It is calming. I mean, Lucas, come here. Tell everybody what you just did.
I caught a yellow one.
He caught a yellow one.
Cool.
See, it's calming. It's therapy. It's calming for me because he's entertained by something else.
There you go. There you go.
All right. Well, we do appreciate Lisa, you coming on. You'll be on again Friday with us.
I will.
If you guys want to hear anything about the links to today's guests, or you want to see the show notes and find the websites we've talked about, go to horsesinthemorning.com. Follow us on Facebook. You follow Horse Radio Network on Twitter. You can get the app. There's no reason to miss the show. Again, there will not be one put out tomorrow because Glenn is partying and Jennifer is having to take care of everything at home.
And she's eating bonbons.
And I'm eating bonbons.
She's sitting around eating bonbons. She's not doing nothing.
I'm eating bonbons and watching Mythbusters all day.
No. There you go.
Awesome. Well, Lisa, thank you so much for helping me co-host. And we will talk to you again on Friday where we're going to put you to. I want you to really brush up on your in Tennessee. So it should be easy on that Southern accent of yours because we're going to have to get you to do some really bad ad reading in Southern accent.
Fridays are absolutely my favorite day. I love co-hosting on Fridays because I love the really bad ads. It's like my favorite thing to do ever.
Oh, good. Well, we're going to put you to the test there, little lady. Maybe we'll get some British ones and make you do a British accent.
Oh,
yes.
That would be interesting.
You don't turn the chicken upside down. That's not nice. All right. Okay. I have to go.
See y'all.
It's really fun. Have a good one. Spay, neuter, gal. See ya.
Bye.